You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavor swirling together with cold brew, topped with a velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. And that imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
Two chairs, no waiting. Episode number 75. Opie's Fortune Answer. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by Weaver's Department Store at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Drop by Weaver's for all kinds of Mayberry items. They've got the Darling Boys, the Dillards. They got a CD of that. They've got some artwork. They got t-shirts and ties, all kinds of things. So drop by over there. Two Chairs is also brought to you by donations from listeners like you. Thank you so much for your support. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Two Chairs No Waiting, your Mayberry podcast. I'm Alan Newsome, your host of Two Chairs, and it's great to have you with us again tonight. Well, for this episode, whatever time you happen to be watching it, we're streaming this thing live on Ustream. So if you're actually watching the video, good to have you with us there. And if you're not, you're hopefully enjoy the podcast and the audio part. So, all right, let's get right into this. Last week, we talked about Opie's Fortune question. So that was the question last week, was about Opie's fortune, about whose bank book is it that Andy takes out of the drawer when he's looking and he says, isn't that the saddest bank book you ever saw? Because he's talking to Barney about having to pay for Parnell Rigsby's money, giving him his $50 back that Opie had found. Now, if you didn't see that episode, it was episode number 74. So I invite you to go back over there and watch that or listen to that episode. And you can pause right here. It's a podcast. You can pause and we'll be waiting right here when you come back. Okay, if you're back or you didn't have to leave, let's go on. And we're going to hear some answers this week, as you might have guessed by the name Opie's Fortune Answer. We've got several answers this week to the question, whose bank book was it? Was it Andy's or Parnell Rigsby's? Well, let's go ahead and hear from some of our voicemail callers. And first up is Doug Turner.
Hi, Alan. This is Doug Turner from Sweetwater, Alabama. I would think that the bank book was Andy's. Had it been the other guy's, I think there would have been a name on the bank book. I've never known a bank book that didn't have the name of the person it belonged to, and thus he would have known already who the money belonged to. That seems reasonable to me. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, that does seem reasonable. It's completely reasonable. Yeah, that that was one of the things I actually had mentioned, was that a bank book would have a bank account number and the guy's name, I would have thought, on the bank book. Anyway, so that's good. I love hearing that what I was thinking wasn't so far-fetched that other people didn't think it as well. Or maybe you poor folks think like me. Maybe that's even worse. I'm not quite sure. So let's all say that we're doing good and we all think, and we're just because we're thinking correctly. So let's hear next up. So that's one vote for Andy Taylor's bank books. Let me mark that down. One vote. All right. Next up is Frank Phillips.
Hey, Alan. This is Frank Phillips calling from Brazil, Indiana. And like you, I always assumed that was Andy's bank book, although why he kept it in that box, I don't know. But to me, I always thought he was grabbing the bank book so he could take it down to the bank and withdraw the $50 so he could give it back.
Yeah, I did too. So that's he was going to go and pay the guy back, because in $50 was a lot to Andy Taylor. I think I said that on the last episode. So there's two votes. Frank thinks it's Andy's. Next up is another Mayberry caller, and his name is Ken Anderson. So here's Ken.
Yeah, Alan, Ken Anderson here in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Concerning your question about the bank book, I think that has to be Andy's. I can't see where it would be Mr. Parnell's, because if it was his bank book or whoever's bank book it was, certainly the name would be in the bank book and also the name of the bank. which would have given Andy a definite clue as to who it belonged to. So I'm with you 100% on that, that it belonged to Andy. And also, just want to comment, too, I just absolutely loved just listening to the audio clips, and it gave me the idea that I'm going to, sometime this week, I'm going to take some of my episodes and put them in my computer and turn off the screen and just sit back and listen without any pictures to just kind of relax and try enjoying the Andy Griffith shows in a new way. That sounded just great. So keep up the good work, and we'll keep listening to you every week. Thanks now, and have a good night.
Hey, thank you, Ken. And yeah, that is a lot of fun. If you listen to the episodes, just listen to the audio. I think it was Paul Mulick that was the first person I knew that done that. He took the audio from the episodes and put them on cassette tapes. And so when he went on trips, he was able to listen to the Andy Griffith Show driving in his car. And I thought that was a great idea, a great way to make a trip go by quickly. Because, you know, we've all, well, not everybody, but a lot of us have seen the episodes enough that if we hear it, we can picture in our mind exactly what was going on. So, hey, thanks, Ken, for calling in, and that's a good idea. Now, I will say, let's see, Ken's vote was for Andy's bank book, so let me mark that down. Okay, I will say that I try not to do too many clips in an episode. I'm trying to be pretty careful about that because they're copyright issues if I use too many, so I have to be careful, and I have to kind of do it as part of an analysis of an episode, so you know, I'm not a lawyer, and I hope I'm not breaking any rules there, but I hope the spirit of it is coming through, and I'm not trying to take away anybody's copyright protections or anything. So let's go on into our final caller. Our final caller is Larry Granger. So let's hear from Larry.
Hello, Alan. This is Larry responding to your question about the Opie's fortune. I can understand how the other gentleman could see a possibility of the purse or the book belonging to Mr. Rigsby, but I would think that if the book was in the purse, that Andy would have mentioned it when he was going through it, counting the cash. And I would have thought Mr. Rigsby would have mentioned that he was lost some cash and a bank book. You know, I could see where the other guy would see it, but I'm going to have to agree with you. I think it was Andy's bank book, because Barney knew once he was looking at the book that he intended to pay the money to the man. So, great podcast. Keep it up. Thank you.
Hey, Larry, thank you so much. Thanks for listening, and thanks for being a part of the show. It was great. And I have to agree with you. You know, Andy wouldn't have just been looking through his bank book. And, you know, I agree. So let's see. That's another vote for Andy. So that's 4 for Andy's and none so far for Parnell Rigsby's bank book. So let me go on into the email that I got. And one of the emails is from a guy who just happens to be the executive producer for episode number 75 of Two Chairs No Waiting, Mr. Joey Bunch. Joey Bunch. Hey, thanks, Joey, for your donations that help keep this podcast going. And so Joey is the executive producer tonight for this episode number 75. He can put that on his resume or anything he wants to do. You know, he can, hey, it's a legitimate. You're the executive producer. So if any of you guys would like to be executive producers, you can make donations to keep the podcast going, just to help pay our hosting fees and all the stuff that goes along with paying for keeping all this going. And we'll take, hey, you know, whatever you feel like you could give me as part of that. All the money is being used to keep the podcast going. That's what I'm going to use it for, to keep it going and to improve things and, you know, just to try to keep the Mayberry stuff flowing, because it's a lot of fun for me. It's a good bit of work, but it's a lot of fun. And I thank you guys for your donations, and Joey in particular, since he is the executive producer tonight, Joey Bunch. And he had this to say about Opie's fortune and Andy's bank book. He says, "This is one of my top 5 favorite episodes. It's Andy's bank book. For one, when he mentions there's no ID in the purse, he doesn't say, 'But here's a bank book.' Well, that's a good point. He definitely didn't take it out. And he would have perhaps looking for a name. If there had been a book in there, he would have taken it out. I agree with that. And he could have taken the purse and the bank book to the bank, and they could have figured out whose it was just by looking at deposit dates. They would have been able to figure that out. That would have been in keeping with Andy's character. That's a good point, Joey. It would have been in keeping with his character as well. It would not have been in keeping with his character to casually snoop in someone's bank book just to see how much money they had, or to comment to someone else about their lack of means. That's exactly right. That's not Andy's character. In the scene where Andy takes the money out of the purse for the first time, he's saying there's no ID. Then he sticks his fingers into the purse, which bulges out a little bit. So you can see there's nothing else in there. That's a good point. So he goes on to say that the fact that it's Andy's bank book sets up Barney's second bout with Verklempt. Well, Verklempt, that's what it would be, Verklempt. You know, Joey is a writer. You know, he's been nominated actually for a Pulitzer Prize several times. He's not won, he'll be quick to tell you, but he's been nominated several times. So Joey uses a big word like that, like from word of month book, you know, like Barney used to get. So I looked up Verklempt just to make sure I'd be able to tell you what it means. And it means overcome with emotion or clenched. And that's a great word. I'm going to have to. So now listen to this podcast. You learn things. It's amazing. So keep it up. Anyway, he said this sets up Barney's second bout of Verklempt. Andy would spend from what little money he has rather than disappoint his son. You know, he's going to give the money back to Mr. Rigsby and not make Opie do it. And Joey goes on to say, maybe it's not 100% clear, but there's way, way more evidence to suggest it's Andy's bank book. Joey Bunch. Thanks, Joey. Thanks for writing in, and thanks for helping support the podcast, man. We really appreciate it. And I've known Joey a lot of years. He went to high school with me, actually. He's a little bit older than me. Well, I shouldn't say that, should I? He's a couple of grades ahead of me, but not too many. So thanks again, Joey. We got another email, and this one is from Harriet Browder. And she writes in also about the podcast episode 74. She said she just listened to it and a great subject, but I'd never assumed it might be Mr. Rigsby's bank book. So I'm with you because that's what I thought too. Let's see. I got to write that down. Let's see. Joey made 5 and Harriet sounds like she thinks that. So there's 6 people saying it's Andy's bank book. Now let's move on here. What else did she say? Now on that subject, there's another scene where Andy takes a look at his bank book, and it sure seems to me that the book was the same size, color, and everything. I believe it was in season 8, and that's the only season that she doesn't have on DVD. If you want to take a look at episode 231, Andy's Investment. Maybe I was dreaming, but I recall Andy looking at his bank book to determine if he could afford to invest and or why he would have a hard time sending Opie to a expensive college. Unfortunately, I don't pay close attention to the color episodes as I do to the black and white episodes. Don't tell my daughter-in-law, she says. But it sure seems to me that the episode has a scene where Andy looks at his bank book. If I'm wrong, I apologize for sending you a buffalo pointing the wrong way. Happy motoring, Harriet, the chicken thief. Thank you. So, Harriet, appreciate you writing in. And I did not get a chance to check out that episode and do any screen captures and look at it. Now, obviously, you won't be able to tell if it's the same color. You'll be able to tell if it's dark, but the black and white and colors will be hard to tell. But I think there was he looked at something. And so we'll have to look at that. If any of you guys look at it, be sure and let me know. And we got one more email, and this is from Larry Hamrick. He says, hey, Alan, I believe it's definitely Andy's bank book. Let me write that down. That's number 7. 7-4, no against so far. He says, number 1, I don't think the purse was big enough to hold $50 in cash and the bank book. That's a good possibility. Number 2, an honest man like Andy would never snoop into someone else's finances. Wow, that's a common theme we've heard from several folks, and I agree. On another note, he says, I posted a message in the Digest. He's talking about the Who's Been Messing Up the Bulletin Board Digest, which is a online chapter of the Andy Griffith Show Rewind Watchers Club. And you can drop by Mayberry.com and get to that by going to newsletters. It's all there. And you can also get there by going to Who's Been Messing Up the Bulletin Board.com. But it's actually the initials. Let me see. It's Who's Been Messing up the bulletin board. So it's WBMUTBB. How about I'll just put a link on the show notes for you guys? But you can get to it, and you can subscribe, and you'll get a daily email called the Who's Been Messing Up the Bulletin Board Digest. I've talked about that before. Anyway, he says, I posted a message in the Digest a few days ago about an ad in the Mount Airy News. Now, the Mount Airy is Andy Griffith's hometown. That's where he grew up. He said, I saw an ad about in the Mount Airy News about a dentist office on Newsom Street. Them Mayberry folks are everywhere. Larry and Lincolnton. you know, my name is Alan Newsom. That's why he said this. And there is a Newsom Street, N-E-W-S-O-M-E, just like my name, in Mount Airy, North Carolina. So if I ever move there, I got to somehow get a house there. It's on Newsom Street. That would be perfect. So, hey, thanks, thanks, Larry, for your email. And, folks, we got tons of others like this. We got stuff on Facebook as well. Joe Schwain, he wrote in and said, I think it was Andy's bank book. So that's number 8 that thinks that. He's got a whole lot more here. Let's see. I find it hard to imagine Andy would have shown Mr. Rigsby's bank book to Barney again, because it would, you know, basically, you know, the same thing other people are saying, but he wouldn't have done that. It would be unprofessional. Stan Orr, he wrote in and he said he had to think about it for a few minutes before I realized how simple it was. By using my Barney-style investigative techniques, Old Blue and the boys down at the lab, we came up with this scenario. First, we look back at when Opie found the money. Nothing is taken out of the purse but $50. And if it had been a bank book, and if there had been a bank book, you had seen it. Moreover, there would there not have been a name or identification in the bank book? That's kind of my point again. And therefore, Andy would not have had to place the ad to try to find the owner. Also, Mr. Rigsby wouldn't have had to place the ad to tell he was the owner. He goes on, he's got some good points, and we're going to have these in the show notes. If you look on your, if you've got an iPod or if you use iTunes, you can look at the lyrics tag is what it's called, lyrics. But if you, just scroll through, if you go on an iPod, you can click that middle button when you're looking at a podcast, and it'll show you all kinds of different information. If you do that, you can read every one of these emails yourself. So, if you're one of them that posted, you can go in there and see your own. So you're famous. You've been published. So anyway, so Stan goes on and tells a good bit more, basically saying, you know, Andy would do anything to keep from disappointing Opie. And it was Andy's bank book. We had Terrell. Terrell wrote in and said, Terrell McIntyre says, he says it's also Andy's bank book. It had to have been his because it would have had a name in it if it was Parnell's and they'd have known. So that's 9, I believe. Robbie Curley, he wrote in, says, I agree. It's got to be Andy's bank book. By the way, he says the real Bannertown is actually, that's where Parnell Rigsby lived in Bannertown. Bannertown is actually a suburb of Mount Airy, North Carolina. And has a great place to eat called the Derby. So if you're ever in Bannertown, drop by the Derby there in Mount Airy. Thanks, Robbie, for that. And finally, we heard from Daniel Kal-El Freeze. So he's like Superman, Kal-El, that he says it's Andy's bank book. He's got some other stuff he said, but very little. So that's 11, I believe. 11 to nothing that it's Andy's bank book. So, folks, I want to thank you all for taking time to either call in or write in and to share your opinions about whose bank book it was. And, you know, I think we're pretty much settled. It must be Andy's because not only you guys, but I should mark, let's see, also Jim Clark, myself, Kenneth Junkin, Jan. So that's 15 to nothing so far. So, hey, again, I want to thank you for taking the time to visit with me and to come and visit here in Mayberry for just a few minutes each week. We're almost 20 minutes. I need to get out of here, so I won't keep you guys too long. Folks, I enjoy it so much. Feel free to call me at 888-684-8415. The number is now posted on the website, so if you forget it, you can go and look at mayberry.com/podcast, and you can see the note there. You can see the thing. Oh, by the way, you can also go to 2chairsnowaiting.com. com, and you'll go straight to the podcast website. I'm getting high dollar. Some of your donations are helping with this, so I really appreciate it, guys. And you can drop me an email at floyd@mayberry.com. You can drop by Facebook and leave me a note there. You can drop by the webpage and leave comments there as well. Folks, I really appreciate it, and we'll see you guys next time on Two Chairs No Waiting, your Mayberry podcast. Bye, folks.
You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew topped with a velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. And that imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.